This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
And this is Doug Pollard, as usual, bringing it to you. With me in the studio, Christina Antoniadi is a lawyer specialising in gay relationship and parenting issues. And the man we're going to talk to for a little while now, Martin Foley, MP for Albert Park. And you obviously guessed he's a Labour member because we're being very Labour today. Martin, where is the Victorian Labour Party on this? I said earlier on, you know, a motion has already been passed at some point in the past on this subject. What's the situation as to what the party will be taking to the National Conference?
Okay, so in early last year, 2010, the Victorian branch passed a resolution that its platform was to support marriage equality. And then in the 2010 state election, we took a broad range of policy initiatives to the state election. Marriage equality not being part of the state legislation through the Marriage Act wasn't in there. But we had, quite frankly, a shameful stunt in May, which sought to deprive the state conference of its quorum to debate, to reaffirm that position. So the 2010 position still stands. We have another state conference in October, and that will, I am very confident, not be subject to the same lack of rigour, and it will reconsider the proposition, and it will also then elect its national conference delegates.
Okay. When you mentioned this stunt, can you sort of give us a bit of background on what happened? For those who are not well up on the minutiae of what went on at the conference, you ended up without a sufficient quorum.
That's right. A quorum count was called, and I don't think it's breaking any Chatham House rules, given that the television cameras were rolling. people sought to deliberately vacate the... Some people sought to deliberately vacate the conference room floor to deprive the conference of its numbers. And there were also some other facts that the voting that was underway was too far away. But leave aside, there was a deliberate effort to deprive the state conference of its numbers by forces that did not support marriage equality and apparently see it as, I think, to quote them not inaccurately, as somehow the end of civilization.
We've heard that one.
Yes. But I think it rebounded badly on those people.
Well, it certainly wasn't a very good look.
It was a dreadful look, and I think you wouldn't want to be pulling that stunt again.
Why did they do that? Did they think that was because they didn't have the numbers to win a vote?
Absolutely. Absolutely, they did not have the numbers
to win a vote. How are you going to stop that happening next time?
One would like to think that quiet discussions about what's a very bad look have been had and will continue to be had, and that if we are serious about some of the broader reforms that we need to make as a party to deal with the many issues and challenges we're facing, at least having a functioning democratic opportunity for members to participate is the ground on which that needs to be built. So efforts to artificially play stunts and not allow policy positions to be debated because you know you're not going to win go down very
That's
badly.
That's kind of petty, isn't it?
Petty is one word for it, yes.
I'm trying to be polite here. Christina, you're looking...
Yeah, daytime radio, Doug.
Well, yes. Christina, the situation here in Victoria, you're an expert... Mm-hmm. In the law relating to couples and so on, same-sex couples as it applies here in Victoria. We do have a relationship register here.
We do.
Given that, we'll talk to John Hyde over in WA a little later on, he's planning on bringing forward a civil unions bill, as he calls it, and he says it will be the strongest one in the nation when he does. Is the relationship register we have here in Victoria adequate for our situation? And are people using it very much?
Look, firstly, it is inadequate in my view. It only allows you to register your relationship, much like I've heard many people refer to it as registering your dog with the council. In one way, it's conclusive evidence that you're in a de facto relationship, but it's not any recognition by the government. In my view, it's just another attempt for them to actually go, well, we've got people in a relationship. It's revenue raising, because then partners are then caught out if they're on Centrelink or whatever it may be. Not that I'm condoning their behaviour in misleading the government in any way. But look, I mean, there's three sort of ways to approach this. You've got the Marriage Act, which has obviously historically been between a man and a woman. Then you've got people saying, well, what about civil union? And yes, it would be an easier thing to pass, in my view, because it doesn't affect the Marriage Act. I mean, and then you go on to whether you have a federal piece of legislation or just a state-by-state legislation. Now, if it's state-by-state, you may be able to have a civil union or a marriage in Victoria, but it may be not recognised in other states. Mm. So that's fraught as well. But look, it's not sufficient by any means in Victoria.
So we're in a bit of a limbo situation
at the moment. We are, very much so.
Martin, do you see any prospect of anybody doing anything with the Baillieu government in?
Well, what I see with the Baillieu government is, whilst it's dithering in all sorts of areas, it's not actually dithering in the rollback of the human rights framework of this state. And that's because it has probably one of the strongest conviction politicians in the country in the form of the Attorney General. Hmm. The trouble is, his convictions aren't exactly my cup of tea. And we've seen already the rollback of the exemptions from the Equal Opportunity Act. We're seeing the absolute setup of the Human Rights Charter. Today's front page of the Herald Sun wasn't an accident. Mm. The demonising of the Human Rights Charter is a deliberate ploy by this government and this Attorney General, who see it as something to be wound back and replaced. And in my view, the prospects of a Victorian Baillieu government doing anything to improve the legal recognition of marriage equality rights is dim. And if anything, what I would be afraid of is that efforts to bring forward state-based legislation in this area would actually be used by the government in Victoria to further demonise the LGBTIQ community's relationships more generally. Because don't underestimate the passion that this Attorney General brings to this issue.
Well, he's been, you know, he's an odd creature from looking at it from a journalist point of view, because it's really hard to get a handle on him. He very rarely says anything in public. He mostly seems to work behind the scenes. Mm. There's a lot of stuff that's coming out, as you mentioned, the Herald Sun today, which appears to originate from his office, but it's kind of hard to track back. Mm. Like his counterpart in the Education Ministry, who has also got fairly strong religious views, seems to hide behind his officials a lot of the time. Mm. I presume so that if they overstep the mark and it doesn't play well, he can turn around and say, well, it was all down to an overzealous secretary or whatever.
It's a tried and true technique, that one.
And as a journalist, I've been on the receiving end of it many times from all sides of politics. So you think we're in for a bit of a dim time with under Ted Baillieu? Because, I mean, he himself is small L liberal, I would say.
Well, that might be the case, but what we've seen, it's very early days, but what we've seen is a lack of preparedness to tackle social issues on the part of this apparently small L clique of liberals in there. Clem Newton Brown, Andrea Coote, Louise Asher, Ted Baillieu. Where has been the results of their influence in that area? It would not have been beyond the bounds of possibility for any number of one of those people in the party room process they had earlier this year to say, do not bring this equal opportunity bill forward because I will not support it. Mm. It need never have got out of the party room. Having seen this in other forums, I know that tactic works. This suggestion that this is some kind of Hamer-esque government.
Because the nearest we've had so far is Mary Waldridge sort of losing her way to the chamber and missing the vote.
Yes. And Louise Asher falling asleep,
you know, but that's been the extent. I've heard of passive aggressive, but this is ridiculous. passive resistance, perhaps. Yes. Followed by an apology, followed by a reversal.
Yes, which sort of again, given they're meant to be a conservative government, to sort of overturn 150 years of parliamentary precedent was a bit amazing.
Yes, but this is a hard government to get a handle on generally, I think, because they are flying below the radar as much as possible.
Yes, and that's deliberate. I mean, you know, there's no two ways about it. The media and public strategy is such, but whilst that's happening, you look at the hard policy and legislative work that people like the Attorney General are pursuing, and it is socially regressive and it is highly conservative, but it's from a deliberate and well-thought-out policy position that the hard right within the Liberal Party are pursuing with some aggression.
I think it might eventually backfire on them, but unfortunately we might have to go through a bit of pain before we get there.
Martin, can I just ask for your comment? I mean, the Labor Party's been criticised by the Australian Christian Lobby, which I don't place much weight on their opinion in this for obvious reasons, but they've called on the Labor Party not to discard their election promise on marriage. What are your comments in relation to that?
Well, I'm not sure what promise they're talking about.
Neither was I. I thought maybe you could shed some light on it.
But what I know is that we see at a Victorian level the Marriage Act, as the Federal Marriage Act, as the villain of the piece, with the deliberate wedge politics from a decade ago being introduced by the Howard government. And whilst there are no doubt legitimate legal arguments to be said as to what can happen at a state level, the real debate is at the federal level. And to avoid that state, federal, high court challenge type stuff, let's recognise the fact that the Labor Party is at its best when it is determining issues around rights, fairness and justice. And this is an issue that has been so overcooked on all of those bases that, as Andrew was saying from Queensland, the time has more than come for that notion of rights, fairness and justice in loving relationships to be treated the same, no matter what your gender identity or sexuality is.
And obviously, Labor Party at the moment are going great guns in pushing this forward. My partner said to me the other night, as a member of the GLBTI community, what can we do to actually get out there and make a difference? You know, we have the rallies and we have the petitions, but is there anything else that we can do?
Look, I really think quiet advocacy should not be underestimated. We've had, I'm pretty sure now, nearly all the state leaders come out and support the proposition that the policy needs to change. We've had nearly all the state conferences support the change. I would like to think that if members of the LGBTIQ community just make their views known to their local Labor MPs, if they're in a Labor electorate, if they're not, to the state
to
leaders.
Move, maybe.
No, stay where they are. Stay where they are. We don't want them to move. Stay in Paran, please. We know where Clem is and what his margin is. And just make that known, because Equal Love and all those kind of movements have their role, and they're fantastic, and you need that public advocacy. But what you need is people like me and people who are leaders and have says in smoke-filled back rooms, all that kind of thing, to know that there is a wide, deep spread support for this. And it's not just the LGBTI community. It's anyone who sees the notion of what is fair. It's not a complicated issue.
Yep. And we've got families and we've got friends and we've got employers, we've got employees, we've got neighbours. Yeah. You know, we need all of them on side as well. Well, in a moment, we're going to talk to John Hyde. He's the out-gay Labour Shadow Minister for Arts and Culture over in WA, and he's leading the charge for gay marriage over there.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.